The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of the sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all the other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And he told them this parable. There was once a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard. And when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning. Please be reminded, I am the gardener. I'm supposed to help you bear fruit. So I will put fertilizers. And you know, fertilizers, it doesn't always smell good, right? But it's good for you. As the gardener, God wants me to make sure that the fig tree bears fruit. In the second and first reading, it talks about Paul. In the second reading, it talks about Moses. And in the first reading, it talks about Moses. Now, the thing is this. Moses was instrumental, used by God to reveal himself to his people. Through Moses, God saved the people of Israel from Egypt and went back to the promised land. And all the way, God did not abandon Moses. God revealed himself by fire or wind or something so that the people will know that he is there. God fed them with manna. God was there, really. But sad to say, even though they knew, they felt, they saw the presence of God, if you read the Old Testament, you will see that they kept on complaining. Even though God is there, even though Moses was a faithful servant, now, fast forward, we have also God's presence in the Catholic Church, most especially in the Eucharist. And of course, the question now is God pleased with us? Or is God angry with us? Because just like the people of Israel, they kept on complaining, grumbling. We live in, I may say, the greatest country here on earth. We have so much blessings. This is a humongous country, so many things here in this country. And yet, I've been here, since 1992. I have encountered people always grumbling.
always complaining, as if it's never enough. See, the thing is, if we are really spiritual, then we will not base our existence by material possessions. If we are really spiritual, we become simple. We don't need much, because we know, being spiritual, we won't be able to carry it anyway when we die. So when I hear people saying, I don't have enough money, I don't have enough clothes, I don't have enough shoes, I don't have enough of whatever material possession. Oh, again, even children nowadays, I don't have enough friends in Facebook, I don't have enough likes, I don't have enough. Not only that, God also was angry at his people during Moses' time, because he gave them the law, thou shalt not have other gods. No? And yet, what did they do? The first thing they did, they melt all their jewels and made a statue of a golden calf and worship it. How about us? Yes, we say we worship God, but are we also worshiping what this world offers? Do we spend more time with worldly things rather than God? And now, of course, you know that the worst kind, God said, thou shalt not kill. Obviously, nobody should ever question that. Everybody, every decent person should stand by that commandment, thou shalt not kill. And yet, in this great country that we have enacted laws that legalize killing. And this is what? The most innocent of all, the unborn. Even though it's so obvious, I don't understand why there are still, okay, if it is true, of all these people here now, 10 to 20% still believe in abortion. Imagine that. I pray, none of us here, believe that abortion is human right. How can it be a human right? Before, as I told you before, they used to hide behind the word pro-choice. No? They want, obviously, to minimize how it sounds. See how they manipulate the issues? They minimize. Oh, it's not killing. It's about choice. No? Always remember, we are called by God today to repent. No? Repent means what? To acknowledge our sinfulness, our sins, what we have done wrong. And yet, many of us do not truly repent because of the influence of media that denies sin. Okay? Media, wherein the devil can work through it, will use this to minimize sin, so that whatever is mortal becomes, it's not really sin. It makes you feel good. Go ahead, do it. Or the media would say, oh, it's not your fault. Blame society. Blame your family. Blame others. No? So there are many ways the devil is working. Please. Huh? How many of us, instead of looking in, remember it's already in the gospel, before you look at the at other people's mistakes, look into yourself. But the media would like you to concentrate on what? Watching television and see the mess, the ugliness of the world, but you forget your own sinfulness. I keep telling you already, stop watching television, because they will only use your attention on others rather than looking into yourself and change. The devil will use anything and everything, I'm telling you. How many, thank God, have decided to at least minimize holding on to technology and really look into yourself and see, I am wrong, I am proud, I am sinful, I am a sinner. So during Lent, we are encouraged to deny ourselves, to discipline our bodies, to pray more. Again, prayer is not simply blabbering. Prayer is about communication with God. In the first reading, it talks about Moses being told by God, take off your sandals, for the ground that you are walking is holy. Moses, God had to tell Moses, whatever dirt you have, acknowledge it and make sure that you are in the presence of God. Same thing here. We don't anymore take off our shoes, but once we are here, we better make sure that we acknowledge our sinfulness, our own dirt before God and ask Him for forgiveness. You do not simply come here as if nothing happened. That is why the first part of the Mass is what? Mea culpa, mea culpa, mea maxima culpa. We, before we receive communion, before God, we acknowledge our dirt. We acknowledge our sinfulness, and we humbly beg for His mercy. I wonder how people realize how important that is. See, Father, I have here today Father Robin, and in the Siro Malabar rite, when you go to a church in India in Siro Malabar, they still follow that rule. Nobody will go inside the church with shoes on. They still follow what God said to Moses. Take off your shoes, for the ground that you're standing is holy. And why is it holy? Because the presence of God at that time was there. Same thing here. The dignity, the presence of God is here. And that is why when we enter this church, make sure you concentrate on God and acknowledge once again before God our own dirt, our own sinfulness, and we are here begging Him to forgive us, begging Him to ask to enlighten us, begging Him to make us holy. But we have to always approach God with utmost humility. No pretension, please. Maybe among ourselves we pretend we're better than the rest, or we pretend that we have more of anything or everything, but in the presence of God, we are nothing. None of us here, in the presence of God, we are all nothing. Yet, because He loves us, He is simply waiting for us to say to Him, I confess. To say to Him, I love you, Lord. To say to Him, I need you, Lord. To say to Him, I want to be with you. So once again, my dear friends, my brothers and sisters, let us make this Lent truly holy so that God, Jesus Christ, is truly pleased with us.